Good morning. Good to be in God's house today. Glad all of you are here. We're so thankful to have visitors come our way. And we're glad to see our faithful here in the house of God as well. Ladies, it sounded like you had a wonderful time yesterday at the fall for y'all ladies meeting yesterday afternoon. Had a good turnout and a good time of fellowship. So we're glad that y'all enjoyed that. And it's just... I believe two more days, and we're in the middle of fall. I think the 23rd, if I'm not mistaken, is fall, or it may be today or tomorrow, but it's close. Leaves will start changing colors real soon around here in Orlando. Yes, I know. It's amazing. You had a handout in the bulletin this morning on Pray 31. Pray 31. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. There's a sign here on this side and a sign here, a bulletin board sign on both sides. Now, this is going to start in October. October, 31 days straight. Now, the next Sunday, we're going to have another handout to remind us, and then you'll get your little atlas, your little prayer atlas. We'll be handing those out, one per family. And we're going to pray 31 days straight, and for every capital of every state, our Congress, our senators, and so forth and so on. But for 31 days, we're going to purposely pray for our country. And so we're going to do that together as a church. And so we're going to talk about prayer the next couple of Sundays. So to get us in gear on praying. Might say, well, preacher, I really didn't come to church to get a lesson on prayer. I came to church because I have a real need. I've got a broken heart. I've got financial difficulties. I've got, an illness and so forth. But I'm telling you, dear friend, the Word of God is good and profitable in all manners of delivery. So we get to the point where we can tend to intercessory prayer in a purposeful way, I'm sure God will meet your real need that's real to you. And I'm not downplaying your needs. I understand you have needs. But our country is in a terrible, terrible fix right now. And so Acts chapter number 1 this morning. Acts chapter number 1. Verse number 1, we're going to use this verse to get us started, and then we're going to get into the Word of God, and we're going to look at prayer. Actually, we'll look at the Lord's prayer life to kind of help us out. So we know how to pray next month. Well, surely, I hope you don't wait till next month to get started. I hope you pray daily as it is, but we're going to purposely pray in October for some specific areas and needs that need to be covered. So don't slack on your other prayer life, and it's a good thing to talk to God. It really is. Acts chapter 1, verse number 1, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Both to do and teach. Now, I'll tell you, from the lessons of Christ and His own examples, they're very, very instructive. Very instructive, just looking. And you see how He did it. Begin both to do and teach. He didn't only teach, He didn't only talk about it. He first did it with example in front of everybody, openly, so that he might afterwards teach. Now, we're going to look at several verses this morning. Go back to Matthew chapter 14. These here passages, which we're going to go over here in the beginning, are passages where we see the Lord praying. Now, he surely did more, and he taught more than prayer. But that's the area we're going to look at today, Matthew chapter 14. And verse number 23. Matthew 14 and verse number 23. And we'll be referring back and forth to these here same verses that we're going to go over right now. I'm going to go ahead and we're going to go into the Word of God and look at all the verses here. Only it's just a handful, but they're all on prayer, and specifically the Lord's Prayer. 14:23 of the book of Matthew, the Bible says, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." Now go to Mark chapter number 1. Mark chapter number 1. I hope you mark those examples or write down those verses that there so you can look at them later on while you're praying and see that our Lord was a man of prayer. Mark chapter 1 verse number 35. Mark chapter 1 verse 35. The Bible says there, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." In Mark chapter 6, verse number 46. Mark chapter 6, and verse number 46. "And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray." Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5. Pastor, we don't normally look at this many verses in the beginning. We may look out through the whole message, but I want to set a precedence here on what the Lord did. And then he talked. Luke chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible says, "And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." Luke chapter 11, verse number 1. Luke chapter 11, verse number 1. "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Now you notice Acts chapter number 1, verse number 1. He began to both do and to teach. Several verses we looked through here and we saw where the Lord had prayed. Now the disciples are asking him, "Lord, we've seen you do it. Teach us to pray also." Now, some things that I observed during the study and reaching out into the Scripture and seeing this and the observation on these passages I drew was that he, most of the time, in serious prayer, the Lord would draw himself away. He'd be alone, and he'd be out there alone, and that's the characteristics of almost all the passages that we read. He broke away from the crowd. Now listen, there's times that we need to pray in public. This morning, Brother Bernie opened us in prayer. Brother Lee prayed for the offering. And then we'll have a prayer at the end of the service. Those are part of a normal worship service. That's something we do. But we're talking about something a little bit different than just that. We're talking about a little something different than our prayer, when we pray over our meal, or in the evening times, maybe you'll pray together as a family. In the morning, you may pray together as family. I'm talking about a little bit deeper communication with God. And so that's what we're going to get at, we're going to look at, is that he would separate himself and he would get away, and he needed to get away even from his own. You'll notice in several passages we look at that even the inner circle of those three disciples, you know, he had 12 followers that was always there, but there was more always around him. And then there was a smaller group. In his prayer time, he would get completely alone, get away from them, and be separate from them. And he would go to a specific place, and he would get there alone, and he would spend time in prayer. It was not always the same place, was it? As we looked, we saw in the Scripture, we read several verses. It wasn't always the same place. But you know, he generally speaking, when we looked at it, he would always separate himself into the wilderness or up toward up on a mountain, and he would get alone. Now listen, this is what I got from that. I got that he wanted to get a place where the people, the crowd, wouldn't be near. He'd be alone. I'm telling you, prayer is lonely. Now, when Brother Bernie prayed this morning, he prayed in the midst of all of us. Brother Lee prayed in the morning, prayed in the midst of all of us. But this type of prayer, this communication I'm talking about, I'll tell you, dear friend, it's going to be you and you alone, you talking with God. Nobody else around. And he drew away from them, and it was like up on a mountain. Now, for what reason, I don't know why. Maybe he liked the mountain. I tell you this, that I like to pray when I get alone. I like to get to a place where I enjoy. I don't want to pray in the midst of Walmart. I don't care if it's closed down and I'm the only one in there. I despise, dear friends, spending time in Walmart. And now they're putting all these self-checkout counters. You have to not only take your own money in there, get your own groceries, now you have to ring up your own self and pay your own self, pay there, and then bag your own self and go out. Listen, it's getting bad. I don't like it. So if I don't enjoy being there, why in the world would I go to a place to want to pray? Now listen, I know this, I've heard this a million times. Preacher, I can pray anywhere. Well, we've got examples. The Lord prayed anywhere. He prayed alone. That's why I like praying when I go hunting. Hold up now. When I go hunting, I go to hunt. I'm not getting up in no deer stand and get up there and talk to God. If I'm going to go in the woods to pray, I'm going to leave my rifle at home. If I'm going to listen, I'm talking about deep intercessory prayer. Oh, preacher, I can pray at any ball game, any ball field in the world. Yeah, you can. You can pray in the ball field. You can pray in the back of a bus. You can pray, in a boat, in a four-wheeler, riding around. You can pray. But I'm talking about getting a hold of God where it's just you and God. You got a purpose of life, a purpose in the communication. There's something you need. Listen, so if you're going to pray during that time, pray without ceasing. That's what they do. I preach it. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. I'm fine. That's good. That's needful. But I'm talking about praying, leaving other things alone. The Bible says here in all these verses, and he separated himself. He went into a wilderness alone. And I'm telling you, if God needed to get away to pray. You say, why do you say God? Because he was God manifest in flesh. That's what the Bible teaches. And if Jesus Christ needed to separate himself, it was a need for him to get along, a need for him to talk with the Father, dear friend. How much greater of a need than you and I? Amen. So I just noticed there that he got to a place that he must enjoy the mountaintops. You remember on the Transfiguration? There it was on the mountaintop. And it was a wonderful time. Matter of fact, so wonderful that Peter said, Lord, let's build three temples here. So I'm telling you, dear friend, when we talk about prayer, get some place that you enjoy. Listen, if you despise mowing your grass and weed eating and hedging and all that, don't go in the shed where your lawnmower is to pray. I know you're going to be alone because your wife's not coming in there with you. She's not coming in. Your children, they don't want to come in around the lawnmower to smell gas. But listen, I enjoy that. I enjoy doing that type of stuff. There's been times, dear friend, that I've got over in the print shop and I got on sitting on the tractor seat and I just sit there and I pray for sitting on the tractor. Me alone. I didn't start it up because when I started up, I got something I want to do with the tractor. I didn't put the key in there. I didn't fool the blinkers. I didn't fool the gas. I got on there because I enjoy that. Kind of puts you at ease. Get someplace where you enjoy praying and get along. Brother Johnson told many times, he gets up in the early morning, gets a Bible read done, gets out there and wants to watch the sun come up while he prays. That's what he enjoys. Some of you don't know what the sun looks like coming up. You don't see it until 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning. All you know is about a sunset. I'm here to tell you, the sun rises, dear friend. Sometimes it's good to be up when the sun rises. Not all the time. We'll read the scripture. in early in the morning, before the break of day, he was praying. There's different times. Listen, so get to a place where you enjoy being. If you enjoy being around a piano. Now, when you start playing, don't tell me you're praying. Get someplace where your body and your mind is at ease. Listen, you've got to be ready to communicate with God. Because we're communicating for our purpose. We're interceding on behalf of others. So I noticed that. He kind of separated himself. He was alone. He got to a place where he kind of enjoyed. We are sure he prayed for sure. Just by the glimpses of what we saw here, he had a wonderful, wonderful prayer life. It could have been so common of his prayer life, separating to go pray, that it became second nature or taken for granted by the apostles. That's why in the Garden of Gethsemane they had a hard time watching and praying. Well, man, he does this all the time. He separates, he goes to the mountain. It became commonplace for them to see him go pray. I know our Lord prayed. He prayed and then he taught how to pray. Dear friend, I think sometimes our prayer life becomes commonplace. We just, you know, it's just something we do. We get in our prayer closet, get along with God. We spend some time there and we just talk and, you know, and pray. At least I hope you're praying and talking to the Lord. But listen, this lets you know prayer is just communication. You're communicating with your Heavenly Father. You're talking with Him. You're spending time with Him. Now listen, it may be lonely for you. It may be difficult for you in the beginning, but I tell you what, the Holy Father in heaven enjoys the fellowship. He enjoys when you break away from your common day-to-day life and you get along and you get in a place where you enjoy, a place where you, and you talk to Him and you spend time with Him. Hey, He enjoys that, and I'm telling you, Satan despises it. In our minds, we have to get to a place where we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that we're focused, because if not, I'm telling you, dear friend, in your prayer life and my prayer life alike, our minds will wander. Be like a flight of birds. Shoo! Gone. We have to get to a place where we are trained to pray. There was no specific time to pray. I think in Matthew chapter 14, go back to Matthew chapter 14 if you will, and we'll look back at some of these verses. Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 23. When did he pray? Look at the verse there. When did he pray? In the evening. Some of you may pray better in the evening. Some of you might get up, work so late in the day and so tired, you get up in the morning rushing about, that it's really not a good time for you to pray. You have to find when is a good time for you to pray. So we say here, the Lord prayed in the evening. Look over in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter number 1. Verse 35. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. When did the Lord pray there? Some of you even may not work. Listen. Prayer is so important, so needful, that the devil has devised a scheme to eat up your time. So you have to get to a point where you protect a time, whether it's morning, whether it's evening. You're not wrong if you pray in the evening, you're not wrong if you pray in the morning. You've got to get to the point where it is. Remember that Jesus began to both do and to teach. He's teaching us that we can pray. I've heard some folks say that you're not right with God if you don't rise up early in the morning, every day in the morning, and pray. When you get out of bed, you need to be thankful. But not every morning, dear friend, I can get up out of bed and spend 15, 20, 30, 40 minutes with God. So I've got to find a place. I've got to find a time. Look over there in Luke chapter number 11. Luke chapter number 11. And verse number 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples to pray. It seems to me that this here is kind of like in the middle of the day sometime. Look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. Flip back a couple of chapters. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. Well, this is going to grab you by the horns. Verse 12, chapter 6 of verse Luke. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into the mountains to pray and continued to wait. When? All night in prayer. So several verses there we read. There was evening prayers. There was morning and prayed. And there was during the daytime he prayed. And then there was times that the Lord spent all night in prayer. And I'm telling you this, his prayer was genuine. It wasn't just symbolic. Sometimes we get to the point where we just pray just so we can say we prayed. Well, I spent my time with God today. I did my due today. And I fulfilled my commitment today. Well, the Lord's prayer was genuine, dear friend. It was genuine. It was about real problems, real events, real things that were happening in his day. And he was interceding on behalf of others. You know, he said, Lord, he talked to the Father. He said, Father, even so as you sent me, I send forth them. And he prayed for his disciples that would be sent forth. So it was a needful thing. It was a long thing. It was a purposeful time of prayer. And he prayed because he needed to pray. The Lord needed to pray, dear friend. You and I, for sure, we need to pray. We need to pray. Now, here's some lessons that I learned from his prayer life. He was a preacher. Lord, I didn't come here to get a second Sunday school class. Boy, you're getting enough word, though. Amen. We need to come and say, Lord, feed me what you'd have me to have. Amen. Now, we as a church, we've purposed in October, we're going to pray every day. So we need to know how the Lord would pray. How he is praying. Now, if he needed to pray, we need to pray. Lesson number one. Common sense, right? If by him all things consist, according to Colossians chapter 1. If the great I am needed to pray, we need to pray. If we get nothing else from that, we need to grab a hold of that. That if the Lord prayed, we need to pray. And we need a place where we're not distracted and pressed from the press of life. Wherever it is that you can get along. Brother Bill, your place is going to be completely different from mine. Brother Jim, your place is going to be completely different. But one thing's for sure, all three of us need to be praying. And what bothers me, and what affects me, and what distracts me, and what gets me all messed up, my mind wandering, may not be what bothers you. Amen. So what I'm saying is, don't judge me for where I pray, and I won't judge you for where you pray. Let's just pray. Amen. Well, there ain't no way he's praying over there by the railroad tracks. Who's going to pray by all that? I might enjoy the sound of a train. It might be very relaxing to me to hear choo-choo. Might remind me of the little caboose that could. What, the little red caboose? Is that it? I think I can. When I get to the hill. Listen, that might remind me of the perseverance. And I'll tell you what, perseverance is underrated, dear friend. Perseverance is well underrated. We don't put enough stock in it. Hey, I'm telling you, it takes something to stick with it and stay with it and stay to it. It does. I see a lot of folks waste a lot of ability because they have no stick on. So the Lord prayed. He found a place that would help him and not bother him and be distracted by the cares of life. You know, it's amazing, dear friend, that he got away from those three disciples. You know what I learned from that? Sometimes you need to get away from your own family to pray. Sometimes we pray simply because we want to impress mama. We want to pray because we impress our spouse. Should there be times y'all pray again? Sure. Have I always done it? No. I'm guilty as charged. I know it. But it should be needful. But I'm telling you, there's got to be times, personal, where not even me and my wife are together. Me and my children. It's me and God. Me and God. He withdrew from his disciples. I think your family will respect your time of prayer. Now, if you tell them you're going to go pray, and then they come in the room by chance, by happenstance, and you're on the computer, you blew it, dear friend. They come in there, and you're reading a book. But I think they'll understand. He saw a place where the crowd wouldn't follow him. He got along, got by himself. There's got to be a time in our life, in our daily life, in our relationship with God that we share with no others but me and God. Me and God. It's, you know, you've heard it said sometimes when things are going haywire, somebody's, you know, having a bad day or you know, a ruckus blows up and somebody says, man, they need some Jesus time. Y'all heard that? There needs to be some you and Jesus God. Just that's it. Well, preacher, it's just so hard. You think that's just something the devil does? You think that's something? Listen, the system of the world, the prince and power of the air, you think? If he is trying to distort and to apprehend and arrest your prayer time, I guarantee it's not of God. It's not of God. I notice in my lessons I learned through here is that he made it a time in his life that he must have. He needed it. He had to have it. And listen, it doesn't come natural to you and I. Men, it doesn't come natural. Communication doesn't. Ask your wife. She's talking to you and you're watching a football game, you ain't heard nothing she said. She gives you a note, but you'll do this and that's it, and that's it. That's all you're doing. You don't see nothing else. We don't communicate well. It's not something natural. Ladies, you don't communicate well either. You think you got it all in control. Because you tell me 17 things to do in 1 minute, and I don't grasp it all, and you think you communicate it right. Listen, you got to talk to God problem by problem. Minute by minute, hour by hour. It doesn't come natural. It's not what we do naturally. Why? Because we're fallen men, fallen women. You have to work at it. You have to put time and effort into it. There has to be some provision for a formal time of prayer. Just like Brother Jim sits out the morning and begins to look for the songs and for the week, and then he says, oh, got to put prayer here. We need to pray somewhere. Sometimes we have a special meeting. He'll come and say, Pastor, when would you have open in prayer? We purposely put it there. You purposely have to arrange your life for prayer. You have to get to the point where you sit it aside. Now, according to what we saw in the Scripture, morning, evening, day, all night, there was no sit time for the Lord to pray. No sit time at all. But I'm going to tell you, there's a great advantage for you and I to find what fits us and sit it. Sit it in stone. Well, I'm going to be just like the Lord. And I'm going to pray in the morning when I want to. I'm going to pray in the day when I want. I'm going to pray in the evening when I want. But we forget about that all night prayer, don't we? Kind of like all these folks that talk about turning wine, water into wine, and say, see, it's okay. Since the Lord turned the water into wine, it must be okay to take some every now and then. Hey, when you turn the water into wine, we'll all have some around you. Don't put your grapes and your yeast off in it and all that. You got to keep it in context. Listen, dear friend. The Lord walked on water too, didn't He? We're not the Lord. We're not God. So as humans, we got to find which one sent us. Remember, He began to both do and to teach. He was telling us, it's okay in the morning if that's when you pray. It's okay in the evening if that's when you pray. Hey, it's okay at midday if that's when you can pray. But He was saying this, pray. Pray. How's your prayer life, by the way? I know we just had this lesson / message on prayer. But dear friend, how is your personal prayer life? How is it with Christ? How is your communication with Him? I'm going to ask you this. Does a message on prayer bore you? If so, dear friend, your prayer life is messed up. Because if your prayer life was right, and you come and you say, well, I'm good on prayer, but I remember there was times I wasn't good on prayer. Lord, there's probably other people sitting here needing this message on prayer. Lord, will you open their heart? Give them an ear to hear the message? Or is your mind wondering, man, I've wasted this day. I was coming here to get something hot and on fire. I was coming to get, I needed something else. But somebody else needed this message. Sometimes you got to just prefer others before ourselves. To be honest with you, dear friend, my prayer life is not what it could be. I need this message. I need to know. See, in October, we purpose as a church to pray. We need to know how to pray. How to fit it in. Because I'm telling you, come October, when we pass out those pamphlets, those little atlases, and we're going to go by day, and we're going to pray, I'm going to tell you, the devil's not going to be happy. No. He's going to find every reason in the world to get you behind. And when you get behind 2 days, you know what you're going to say? Can't do it. I can't do it. I'm going to tell you what, dear friend. They put you in a coma for 14 days, and you come out of that coma. You haven't eaten in 14 days. What you going to do? Going to go eat? Sometimes we get in a spiritual coma. When you get woken up out of that, the great awakening happens in your life. Hey, what do? You get back to doing right. You get back to reading the Word of God. You get back to praying. You get back to talking about Jesus. You get back to loving people. I mean, this society which we live in, I'm telling you, we get knocked off the saddle so quick and so easy that it's difficult for me to fathom. Stay at it, stick with it, and I'll tell you, those that continue on and go weeping shall doubtless come again. Bear your shoes. Sometimes it's just perseverance, staying with it. What am I doing with my prayer life? I'm going to stick with it. Why? Jesus prayed. He got alone and prayed. He spent time with the Father. I need to spend time with the Father. Let's stand at our feet.